Hi, HR Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives from the world's leading global brands. Today, I'm joined by Neil Cody, head of EMEA Sales, Learning and Development at Twitter. Welcome to the show. How are you?
How you doing? Good to see you.
I'm good. I'm just looking at your background thinking everything is way too organized and clean and polished.
Well, I think I'm going to have to compete with yourself in that wonderful Christmas background. It looks amazing.
Am I too early? Is it November 26th? So I'm a bit early for the Christmas decorations.
I think you're just right there.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Well, look, thanks for joining. I'm really excited to have you on the show. Before we jump in, tell everyone a little bit more about you personally and your story and journey to where we are now at Twitter.
Yeah, sure. A pleasure to meet everybody. I'm Neil Cody. I'm based in Dublin, Ireland. I've been working in learning and development for 20 years. Very passionate about people development. Come from a computer science background, but really always wanted to, you know, support and develop people. And that really started me out in a career in learning and development. I've been really blessed to have gained a lot of different experiences in the multiple different roles and functions in learning and development. And today I'm the head of the customers learning experience team, which is really the sales and learning and development for Twitter in Europe. And the role is to support the folks that are driving growth and revenue for Twitter on the sales side.
Yeah. So tell everyone more about your role now at Twitter.
We have a really diverse audience in Twitter and from a learning context. We have people that are selling digital advertisement solutions on the Twitter platform to their different clients in the marketplace. The company itself is a great culture to work in. Huge amount of positivity. People are really leaned into their own personal development. So it's a very growth-oriented company. And it's a true pleasure. That's how I describe working here. It's an absolute pleasure to work for Twitter and to support a great set of leaders in Europe that are trying to drive growth and revenue for Twitter as a platform.
What's top of mind for you and the team right now? What are some of the core focus areas for you?
You know, 2022 planning is always a busy period of year. The final quarter of the year is where the learning and development side and our partnership with the business, we let them get on with doing the thing that they do best, which is looking to close out the year financially as best they can. It's generally a time where we start thinking about what does the next year look like. And so some of the challenges that we foresee is, you know, the move towards hybrid that's happening across all companies, regardless of sector. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does that look like from a office workplace environment? And then also, how does the learning and development side support that change? Those are some of the considerations, you know, obviously continuing delivering virtual learning experiences. Looking at how can we provide in-person events when the time is right and safe to do so. So there's a lot of things kind of percolating around strategy. So it's an interesting time, and it's a very interesting time for, you know, employees, employers across all the different myriads of solutions and challenges that they're facing. Yeah. And we're just trying to think about, well, what role can we play in supporting the growth and development of the people in the sales teams in Twitter?
How mature would you say your digital strategy was before the lockdown, the pandemic, et cetera?
I think like most companies, there's all the standard things that you'd expect. You know, there's centralized learning management systems. There's also like in-person events that would have happened. What the lockdown has kind of made us do is to reconsider how we offer the likes of orientation programs, onboarding programs, to make them more blended because people are not going to be able to come into offices. They're starting their job, you know, maybe finishing up in one employer in their room on a Friday and taking a break and then starting a new job, you know, in the same space, in an apartment, in a house, in a room. And to lean into that real empathetic of like, how can we really support our people effectively? So I think it's been a positive thing from a learning and development side to really force us to think differently about how can we, you know, share or support people effectively in giving them the right information in the right place. And I think it's definitely opened up dialogue about the next state of learning technology solutions that might need to be put in place to support people at an enterprise level.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that point then, it's been an interesting one because over the last 2 years, there's been, you know, thousands of learning technology platforms emerge in every space. I think I look in my inbox every day and it's just another one in across the full spectrum, right? There's a new shiny object every day. What are some of the sort of investments that you're making, or, you know, maybe platforms that you're experimenting with right now?
Well, I think the digital learning platform space is, to your point, absolutely huge. And it's, you know, massive for anyone to even try and comprehend the different amount of solutions. I think it's sort of that analogy of, like, if all you have is a hammer, then everything can look like a nail. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm more of an advocate of, you know, if there's a technology solution that actually adds value to your strategy, then that's a worthwhile investment. But what you sometimes hear is that people will get excited about a certain technology and then they try and find a use case, which may not be part of the strategy, or they try and make it part of the strategy. And I think that's where you end up with these kind of systems that, you know, maybe start with a bit of excitement, but they're not there to be an enduring solution. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed, you know, certainly in how we've delivered facilitation experiences virtually, there has been an increase in using systems and platforms to make that experience more effective from a collaboration point of view. So the likes of Miro, you know, Google Jamboards, things like that, to make it more interactive for people. Certainly I've seen a bit more of an increase in that. And then obviously the virtual meeting platforms have become a little bit more advanced with offering polling and breakout rooms and other things like that. I think that that place is quite exciting to see where else it can go. There's nothing as a new technology outside of, you know, individual elements that I find exciting. I think there's a ton of learning experience platform solutions available.
Yeah.
Corporates and enterprises are always going to have to try and balance between what they currently offer and the information records that they're already in place, and the upheaval that changing will bring, balanced with the benefits that those new solutions can offer.
And I know something you're experimenting, which is how we connected, is in the digital coaching space. Why did you and the team feel that that was such an important area for you to invest in?
It's a great question. I think when you look at the myriad of challenges that people face in a pandemic and in a lockdown and all the different circumstances, people managers in particularly are separated from their teams. And some may have had very transactional relationships with their people. Others might have had very close relationships, might have met them physically beforehand. And, you know, everyone needs support. And so coaching is a wonderful transformational experience. And I was, as a coach myself, very interested in how does an enterprise provide a digital coaching experience so that we move away from the reliance of traditional organization between, you know, the coach and the coachee, and the learning and development team serving as like a broker of that. You know, I questioned whether that was efficient. And our team wanted to find a solution that we could pilot to be able to see how does a democratized coaching experience work, whereby you as the, you know, the organizer or the broker of this step back and allow the exchange to happen at a time and a point that suits the people that need it or want it. And also to ensure that, you know, full confidentiality and support is provided. And I think that anyone who works in sales, not necessarily just in Twitter, as a sales manager or as a sales leader, there is a huge paradox between the balancing of managing, supporting and caring for your team, but also the pressure that comes with trying to drive growth, hit targets on a quarterly or annual basis, and ultimately achieve the OKRs to drive performance for the business. And I feel that that group in particular was a wonderful pilot group to test this platform with and to see does it only add value and benefit for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, just out of curiosity, personally as a coach, was you skeptical when you first came across platforms like this going in?
I think the coaching industry, you know, is looking to move a lot more towards like regulation. So, you know, people who are successful coaches are their business are built by word of mouth of being an excellent coach to people. If you look at like how do you democratize that marketplace, it certainly comes from a great opportunity for coaches to be part of a platform whereby they can connect with clients and coachees. Mm-hmm. and drive their business and become standards. You know, that's phenomenal. And therefore, that's where I see a huge opportunity for a platform like that to bring about the standards, to create great diversity of choice. You know, again, if you put the coachee as the consumer, traditional methods might have been a preferred partner where they have a choice. It might be limited. Whereas if you have an open platform, there's an awful lot more choice available. It's organic. You know, new coaches will be coming in and out of the marketplace. And therefore, the benefit I see for the coachee is a great diversity of choice and the ownership and the accountability sitting with them to make that choice and to make the platform work for them.
Why is this so important for Twitter right now in the current climate?
I don't think it's a point in time thing. I think it's more of a vehicle to offer support for people in an ongoing way. Coaching is, as I mentioned, a very transformative experience and enabling people to get the right support. And also the secondary benefit for anyone who goes through these kind of experiences as a manager is that if it happens kind of with you or to you, you then have an opportunity to understand what great looks like or what great feels like. That means that you have an inspirational element for managers to think about how do they provide coaching to their own people that are under their direct reporting line.
How do you balance that with the managers? Because one of my most enjoyable parts of my role in my previous company when I was a sales director was delivering the sales training. I loved, and coaching. My team one-on-one, sales training. I absolutely love it. And then taking those tools and then going, get on the phone and implementing them immediately. Are they still involved as actively as coaches, your managers, and as and doing sales training, stuff like that as well at the same time? Yeah, just out of curiosity.
Absolutely. Yeah, like all managers who subscribe to being a people manager in their career take on that responsibility of caring and growing and supporting their people. And, you know, coaching plays an excellent role in, you know, providing moments of reflection, raising awareness, helping them navigate different circumstances. So it's not to replace that. If anything, it's to give them much more awareness as to, you know, if it helps them, you know, and that goes back to my point around if it kind of happens to you and you're the benefactor of receiving coaching and you find it to be beneficial, it might stimulate a reaction in you to say, actually, I don't feel that I'm doing that with my people. And so it can serve as quite a motivational piece. You know, the role of managers is very nuanced and challenging. And there's a myriad of different circumstances that people managers navigate, you know, in their careers, not just in the company I work in, but broadly. And therefore, you know, I would say, well, why not? You know, it's important for you to provide that extra layer of support. There's obviously things that people may want to have counsel with and work through and goals that they might want to have themselves and things that they're challenged with. And they want to have a thought partner in a safe, psychologically safe way to help them and enable their success. Yeah. And there's only positives that can come from it.
Yeah. And you mentioned a good point there, because for me, that was one of the most enjoyable things about having a coach, is just having someone outside of the company to talk to share things that I perhaps maybe didn't want to talk about with my manager internally as well, and having that space, safe space well. That was one of the most refreshing things about having a coach. It's like, oh, wow, I can just, I don't have to worry about anything here. There's complete psychological safety in this environment. I can be vulnerable. I can say, you know, from a mental health point of view, something I never used to talk about in my last company because the stigma was really, you know, it wasn't a great environment. I could talk to my coach about those things and, you know, stuff that's going on at home, everything. Yeah. And it just made it, it's a game changer.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things that you bring up is actually so important. You know, there's a heightened awareness in the last number of years of, you know, inclusion and diversity, mental wellness and well-being, and making sure that people are supported, not just as workers, as you know, but as people. And, you know, I'm very lucky and fortunate to work for an organization and company that encourage people to show up as their authentic self and to be who they want to be and to be respected. And if there are conversations that need to happen where they need an external perspective, in the full confidence of that, you know, again, that's a benefit, you know, being able to get the right support. Certainly there may be managers that people do not want to speak to.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
To, like you mentioned there, that you didn't feel comfortable or safe to talk about certain things maybe in a former company, but having somebody that you trust, that you can build that trust with, and that knows that they're there for you as a partner, from a coaching context, that can be huge for people, you know, being able to get things off your chest, being able to talk things through in a very open way, particularly in sales organizations, a highly competitive and pressurized environment anyway. Again, not just in my company, but across the industry. And therefore, there are lots of pressure points that people might need support on, and releasing that pressure, being able to talk through a challenge, overcome it, get options, be accountable to making them happen. That's when coaching really comes into its own, and it can be very effective for people's performance.
What did the journey look like to get into where you are now? There's so many providers out there. What are some of the questions you're asking? What were some of the considerations that you had? Because again, if you just search this space, there's a million companies, not a million, but there's a lot of companies in the space.
What I looked for was certainly like scalability. That ability to scale, satisfying all of the standardized IT security protocols and things like that is quite important too. But diversity is huge. So, you know, if you are operating in a very diverse market, which a huge amount of cultures in the likes of the European market, you want to be able to see that the choice of coaches is matching that diversity, and that it's representative. And that's a huge driver, because in order for somebody to potentially find a coach or connect with a coach, you know, they may want to speak in their local language, their first tongue. That could be a huge driver. It might be difficult to articulate their true feelings or thoughts to a coach if it's not in their native language. And so that was a significant one. Second of all, always look for companies that are really have a strong purpose and vision, that it's very clear about what they're trying to achieve as a company. And, you know, working with partners that are collaborative, that are open to listening to feedback and actually actioning that. I think that's a critical thing when you're looking to build out a solution. And you can see that they're on a journey, that, you know, they're passionate about the work that they do. And so that was an important consideration, that it needed to feel relevant and also comfortable for people and confidential.
Mm-hmm. So probably at this point, people are wondering, who are you working with?
So we're currently piloting with a digital coaching platform called CoachHub. They're based in Berlin, in Germany. And we're currently going through a 3-month pilot of a digital coaching platform that has been offered to sales managers and leaders for a 3-month period.
Mm. Is this something that you are planning to roll out across the business? Was there a reason why you started with sales? Or was it you personally that came, was it you and the team that came to this decision, or was it you just personally decided to do this?
As a team, you know, we want to try and inspire people to grow and develop and, you know, provide impactful learning experiences and learning solutions to our audience. So we looked at, you know, working through with an audience that we felt could benefit from this, because it's obviously something that can be measured. You can attribute, like, if you found
literally
it beneficial.
Yeah.
If you found this beneficial, you know, did it impact your, you know, success, or was it a contributing factor to your growth or your team's success or your attainment of goals? So that's one of the benefits of working with a sales organization. Secondly, you know, from a scalability perspective, the considerations that we have, we don't want to just do something, you know, ad hoc. We want to do something that we feel is actually going to be potentially scalable. So yes, you know, having a diverse set of coaches and a platform that is solid, sustainable, you know, growth oriented and also secure, that's a big consideration as well.
What's been the feedback so far from the team?
Really positive. You know, we've done sort of midway checkpoints with everyone who's part of the program, and you know, extremely high scorecard across, you know, the coaching experience, the coach, the platform, the impact, they've been all measured extremely high. One of the standout sort of pieces that I'm super proud of is, you know, from the cohort of about 30 people, we've got 19 different nationalities of coaches.
Oh, wow.
You know, are not just based in the Eurozone, but also in India, America, Mexico, other countries. And then, of course, across Europe, we have a great spread in the EMEA zone in Africa. So we've got people being coached by coaches in Nigeria, Austria, Slovenia, Slovakia, as well as the standard countries that you'd see within the bigger markets, France, Germany, Ireland, UK, et cetera, et cetera. So that blend and that diversity is phenomenal. It's a great story. One of the other features that sort of helps a learning and development lead oversee the sort of impact is the dashboards, being able to keep an eye on the uptake of the sessions. And doing a pilot with you know, a sales or audience during an extremely busy time of the year for them, right? If it wasn't working, they wouldn't be doing it.
I was about to say, because you know, at that time of year, you're just like, yeah, I haven't got, normally you'd be like, I haven't got time for anything else. And even as organizations, we typically don't do a lot of learning development activities around those periods. Yeah. We're like, no, we haven't got time for that. The fact that you're having the engagement now during that time is amazing.
Yeah, and the numbers of sessions is ramping every week, which is a strong indicator of it. You know, we did a midway and we had, you know, that's a 6 week cycle in. You know, there's over 90 sessions that have been taken. The rating at the end of every session is extremely high, so measuring up at like 95% satisfaction at the
How
end
does
of
that
every-
work? Does it come up on screen after they finish? Yeah. Like a meet? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is really good, because in learning and development, you know, a lot of the challenges that we face are moving beyond the reaction of a training program. You know, how was that for you? Like, what did you think? Like the kind of happy sheet evaluation. But having that real time feedback and encouraging people to be fairly, you know,
in the moment.
So having it happen just after the session enables you to capture a real true feeling and sentiment towards, was this effective? Did I feel the coach provided the service I'm looking for? And I think that measurement, maintaining that consistency, is what you see with a digital coaching platform. And that's what you would not see in traditional methods, where you maybe engage with a vendor, they have a pool of coaches. You as the organizer, you're very much a broker, but you have no systematic information to signal whether things are going well or not. They might come up at the end of a cycle or through indirect feedback, but having that real-time feedback is super, super beneficial.
Do they get to choose their coach, like from like a list or like, I know, I'm just interested how it works. How does it work?
Yeah, you would log into the platform and take a assessment, a strengths assessment that would identify kind of, you know, what your strengths are across different domains, and then questionnaires around what you're kind of looking for in a kind of coaching profile. It's called the matching part of the program. And then you're presented with like an option of six coaches. Again, all affiliated with, you know, industry bodies like ICF, and you're able to watch their video, you know, their background and their own kind of like passion and purpose as coaches, why they want to connect. And then you as the user will select that coach, and then the process begins. There's always support available within the platform. So, you know, myself, I could be a point of contact off platform if somebody had a concern, but that hasn't happened yet within the pilot. People have been able to resolve any sort of challenges. The matching criteria has been proven to be very successful and very accurate. There hasn't been many changes, which is positive as well. So everyone wants to make sure that they have a coach that they connect with, that there's rapport, so that you can...
it's important.
Super important. Mm. So if that happens, then... It works perfectly. If somebody doesn't have that experience, we want to rectify that fairly quickly. And therefore, you know, having a platform whereby there's very strong support and also coaching success managers there to ensure that, you know, everyone gets the right support. It just is very reassuring as the learning leader for that.
There's so many unique things that happen, right, that you can do in a digital environment. Like you mentioned, the fact that you have so many coaches from all over the world, from different nationalities. You couldn't do that face-to-face. It's impossible. And in my experience in previous companies, you were just given a coach. You didn't have a you didn't have a chance to choose and select. Yeah. Except you have. So it just, it's just so many, we can really tailor it to the individual so much more in the virtual environment that we can do. And as you said, democratize it, because again, when it comes to face to face, it becomes super expensive for companies. It's not feasible to be able to do that.
And I think that's kind of where technology plays a real strong role in this, you know. Algorithms that can take your assessment and then, you know, work the information to assign a selection of coaches and to maintain that accuracy is only going to be done by technology and data. Mm. And so been super impressed by that matching algorithm. But also to your point, like, you know, coaching and that experience is deeply personal and deeply nuanced.
Yes.
But also, you know, isn't it wonderful in the world that we work in that, you know, you might be working in, you know, London, but being coached by somebody in India or in any part of the world. And that kind of would not be easy to organize.
Yeah.
And then I think in the last 2 years, the pandemic, people working remotely, building relationships virtually, you know, using Zoom, Google Meet, all the different platforms available, has possibly made us an awful lot more comfortable about being ourselves on camera, connecting with people and being authentic and maybe opening up and being more comfortable in that environment, where in traditional methods, you know, that intimacy of meeting someone face to face and having a coaching session may have been the perception that people felt as needed or required for effective coaching to take effect. What we're seeing in a lot of the analytics and research would show that the digital coaching experience is just as powerful and effective, and the time saving, you know, recently speaking to people about even traveling into their, you know, back to work in different parts of the world. And they say, I love going into the office, and it was great meeting up with people. However, I didn't really enjoy the commute. So if you think about from a coaching perspective, traditionally, that would be what happens. People will be meeting in coffee houses, hotel lobbies, things like that. So the commute would still be there. And maybe the actual coaching was fantastic. And having a digital coaching platform removes that vehicle. You are able to avoid that and have it at a time that's convenient for you.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar as well. By the way, my coach I've just recently got is in the US. And also from a mental health and well-being, seeing a psychologist, I also do that virtually. And there's also this idea of like, there's a lot of, sometimes feels like there's pressure if in person, or I've personally felt there's less pressure when you're doing it over a video call in your own house, in your own environment. Whereas like if you're traveling to like a meeting to meet a coach or to meet someone to talk about your mental health and well-being with, it adds a bit more pressure to it. It's just my personal experience of like doing it online in a safe space in my own house or my own office. It just feels something about that really I feel like I open up a lot more and I get more out of the session for some reason.
Well, it's great to hear that. What I've observed is that we have invited everyone into our lives in the last 2 years.
That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, you're on camera right now, I'm on camera right now. If we were meeting frequently, I would meet your family, you would see my family. I think if when people think about like the last number of years in this particular environment, everyone has welcomed everyone into their life and into their home through the lens of the camera. And that just strips away that concern that you have about, you know, optics or how you come across. We have been stripped down to our core being and just being ourselves. And not putting on a veneer for other people and just having to go with the flow. And therefore, you know, how we think about our dress code, how we show up, how we connect with people, talk to people, embrace people. I think you're absolutely on point there. And I would agree that the thought of meeting people brings up, you know, everything around, like you see it on people chatting on Twitter saying like, first time I'm wearing hard clothes, I'm putting on a pair of jeans, you know, I'm going to meet someone.
It's crazy, that,
you know,
right? That's a thing. I've just
been in joggers for, you know, 18 months. So I think that brings an extra dimension. And I suppose in a coaching context, if someone shows up and they're comfortable and they're just at ease with themselves, it means that the conversation is going to be an awful lot more easier for them and more free flowing. And the coach then can put them at ease as well in that virtual environment.
Yeah, I agree. I had two guests in the studio yesterday. It was strange to see people in person. That shouldn't be a thing, that sitting next to someone interviewing them for me was a crazy surreal experience, because I've been doing it so long, for 2 years, or actually for 4 years. I've done the podcast now for 4 years virtually, even before the pandemic. So it was quite strange to have someone in the office, and it was this added pressure. I was like, why am I feeling this way? I'm just seeing a human being face to face. It shouldn't be weird to be able to do that.
And you know, people who work in learning and development, like, we see these as being like, you know, amazing new opportunities of like how to do this, how to do that. Just like when, you know, the lockdown first happened, or the pandemic first came in, you know, there was a clamor of how do we virtually run a meeting, how do we connect with people virtually, like all those kind of needs.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be a full 360,
a reverse of that. Yeah.
Before how we get back to our interpersonal skills with people physically again. Yeah.
It's true. It's going to be interesting. Before I let you go, you know, what are you most excited about, you know, looking ahead?
I'm excited about the challenges that, you know, come into changing and disrupting kind of the learning and development space at an enterprise level in 2022, like with hybrid coming in, with, you know, the need to successfully onboard people remotely, physically, hybrid wise. I'm excited by, you know, the new technologies that can potentially provide better and enhanced learning experiences. For people in my own network, what we've talked about isn't as much as there's the challenges within the world. And of course, you know, we're talking purely on a functional level of the role that we do. It has really forced learning and development teams to think about their strategy, to think about the myriad of ways that they can deliver learning experiences, whether it's, you know, physically, virtually, blended, and so on and so forth. And it's just sharpened sharpened our view on, you know, what's needed and the role that we play at an enterprise level. From a coaching perspective, I'm super excited to see, you know, beyond our pilot, the outputs of it and the appetite for people to want to continue this and be able to provide that as an ongoing or gated kind of experience for a period of time, so that people can benefit from that and sign up for something like that. And help them and drive their own personal growth and development. So they're the kind of things that I'm looking forward to. And I hope that 2022 is going to be an easier year for everybody on their own personal circumstances, and just, you know, some semblance of normality for whatever that is. I don't know.
Amazing. Well, it's exciting times ahead, right? There's never been a more exciting. Yes, there's a lot of challenges ahead of us, and but I think at the same time, there's never been a more exciting time to be in the profession, to be honest, as well. So I appreciate you coming on the show, and you know, I wish you all the best until we next speak.
Thank you so much, Chris, for the opportunity. Pleasure to meet you, and thank you so much for your time.